Today, there's a shift in a key relationship in many of our lives, the one with the financial advisor. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. Today, the U.S. Labor Department is releasing new rules for stockbrokers and other managers of money. These are aimed at the kind of advisors who earn more or less money depending on which investments you pick. The Department of Labor says advisors who don't always work in the best interests of their clients cost consumers $17 billion a year, Marketplace's Kimberly Adams reports.
Micah Hopman of the Consumer Federation says the current system creates a conflict of interest. For example, advisors can be paid higher commissions for investing you in an annuity versus a mutual fund. He thinks the rule changes will help.
Investors will be able to go to any financial advisor who's offering retirement investment advice and receive advice that they can trust and not receive a sales pitch that's disguised as advice.
Vanessa Scott is a lawyer who works with the financial services industry. She says the rule goes too far in response to bad behavior by a few advisors.
To overhaul the entire investment advice industry instead of targeting exactly what those bad apples are doing, we just don't think that it's the best approach.
She points out some fee-only advisors require high minimum investments, which could leave out smaller investors. But others expect the rules will drive down costs and spur innovation. In Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams for Marketplace.
It's the Labor Department with the rules that will be published this morning on what's called this new fiduciary standard. The SEC will eventually have its own set of regulations about who comes first, the broker or the client. There's more coverage of this in the first Marketplace podcast of the day. Crude oil is up 2.8% to $36.90 a barrel in New York trading. Susan Schmidt is Senior Vice President and Portfolio Manager at the Westwood Group in Dallas. Hello, Susan.
Good morning.
So what do you think about market sentiment? You think it's oil? It's up 2.6% today after Kuwait said something about a freeze on oil production later this month, possibly.
We've had naysayers on the freeze issue as well. So that's been a point of controversy for the quarter. I think oil is starting to settle in. What the outcome will be, we're not really sure. But getting all the parties talking is a positive for the energy market. That's an overall positive for the market. More importantly, I think everybody is breathing a sigh of relief that the first quarter is over. 3/31, big important date for professional investors where they have to show their performance. That was a tumultuous first quarter. So now that 3/31 has passed, I think the market is largely breathing a sigh of relief and taking stock once again at the lay of the land, where are we with interest rates, and most importantly, what's coming down the pike with earnings.
With earnings and the first green shoots of spring, perhaps hope springs eternal. Susan Schmidt at Westwood Group in Dallas, thank you for this.
My pleasure.
As a benchmark, the S&P 500 index went up about 0.8% in the January to March quarter. That is not colossal, and I rounded up. We have confirmation this morning that a huge pharmaceutical merger is off. Pfizer of New York wanted to combine with Allergan of Ireland in a $160 billion deal. Among the things that Pfizer was after was Allergan's Irish street address to lower its U.S. taxes in a maneuver known as an inversion. But the U.S. government just clamped down on these. Marketplace regular and Washington Post columnist Alan Sloan has written extensively about these inversions. Alan, good morning to you.
Good morning, David.
Now, you are vividly on the record as believing that U.S. companies that renounce their U.S. corporate citizenship for tax purposes are doing a bad thing.
The problem I have is that these companies want to stay in the United States, benefit from our markets. They just don't want to pay tax for it. So they go through this bogus but legal transaction to minimize the tax they pay in the United States. They end up wildly overpaying for a foreign company that they need to do this deal with.
So the new rules come out, and this is significant this time?
It's temporary because there is no way to stop this without Congress doing something.
All right. So if permanent change is what you're looking for, that may have to come from higher powers. Maybe the companies who don't like these new rules from this week need to just wait it out. There'll be a new Congress in a few months.
Who knows? Congress right now is doing nothing, which from the point of view of these companies, who I call corporate deserters because I'm not polite, for these companies, nothing out of Congress is perfect.
The new rules for this week went quite far.
Right. Well, they went very far. Not only did they knock out the Pfizer deal, but it also did something very, very important. It said that if you're a U.S. company taken over legitimately by a foreign company, it makes it much, much harder to strip earnings out of the United States into a lower tax place. That's huge if it holds up.
If it holds up. But you're saying there's a lot of rules here and there may be loopholes?
Who knows if someone's going to go running to court saying that the Treasury Secretary has exceeded his authority. There are 355 pages of this stuff. And that gives you hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of places where somebody can find loopholes.
Alan Sloan is also editor-at-large for ProPublica. Alan, good to talk to you.
My pleasure, David.
And coming to New York City in 2018, not just another Starbucks, but one the size of an amphitheater, a planned 20,000 square foot Starbucks in the Chelsea neighborhood of Manhattan. You get the Highline Elevated Park over there, Google's really long building there. The promise of this giant Starbucks is coffee as theater, it says. Note that up on 42nd Street, you already can experience theater as theater. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.